Small dose.
Self-help from the hip.
Small dose.
We're talking that shit.
Small dose.
And keeping it real.
Small dose.
With me and them seals.
It's so funky. It's another episode of Small Doses, and we have a very special guest today. I know my parents love me. Yes, we have the one and only Miss Cree Summer with us today. I can't even handle it for several reasons. One, for the obvious reason that Cree Summer is an icon, not only from a different world, but from the various roles that she has held as a voice actress. But because our topic today is
Black women in Hollywood.
And I just thought it was super dope to have somebody on the show who's been a Black woman in Hollywood, not just in the traditional sense as an actress in front of the camera, but also in the voiceover world, because we haven't seen a lot of Black women in that space, in the animated space. So really blown away. I can't even wait to get it started. I think we should just, Let's do it.
Good.
But first, let's sip some DMT.
We're serving it.
All right. Before we are blessed with the gem that is Miss Cree Summer, let's answer some DMT questions. Now, generally speaking, are Black men supportive of Black women in Hollywood? I see Chris Rock giving you big ups, but is this just an exception to the rule or the norm? And I mean from A-level all the way down to the set and makeup folks. Well, you know, I think this is a really interesting question because I think people will have different answers. I personally feel like outwardly that has not been typically the case. I don't really feel like I see a lot of like advocacy on a very public vocal level in that way. I mean, you have folks like, you know, Denzel, who have been very clear about like, I need to always have a Black woman as my wife in a film. You know, you see people like Charles King with his macro company, just really like helping to put money behind Black women creatives. I think D.L. Hughley is also good for that. And it's just great to see Chris Rock doing that as well. But I just named four people. Like, I shouldn't be able to just like name people. It should just be like a blanket situation. And I think that especially in comedy, that hasn't been the case in a greater number because there's always been this boys club of comedy. And it's kind of like if you're not a woman that's willing to like boys club it up, they feel like, oh, you're not really down. Like I've had a comic tell me like, yeah, I don't like having women open for me on the road because I feel like they're judging me and they're not really like, they don't really get what the lifestyle of the road is. And it's like, oh, so you mean you're like fucking all these hoes and they're looking at you like, don't come home with a baby. That's essentially what you're saying. And he was just like, nah, I'm not, I mean, you know, I'm just saying like, you know, we operate a certain way and it's like women's be cramping the style. And I'm like, first of all, it's women. Second, maybe your style does need some cramping because clearly like, if you feel this way, it means that you already are judging yourself. Like, that's really what it is. But I would love to see a lot more support from Black men for Black women in Hollywood. I think that is absolutely important. And especially when we have this, like, Me Too moment happening, you know, for what it's worth, I feel like Black women's voices in the Me Too moment haven't really been as vocal because a lot of us are still protecting the Black men of Hollywood. And there's definitely this overarching feeling that says, like, you know, we've already worked this far. Like, we'll just handle this on the inside. And there has to be a change from both sides in that respect. You know, we have to hold each other accountable, but we also have to big each other up. I should have an NAACP award for how many brothers I have lifted up. So I would love to see more of that happening, but I absolutely feel like it is happening. I'm not saying it's not happening at all. I just want to see it happen more and in a more public space. But I love to say that like the guys that we have on Insecure, they're the greatest. Like, we have a great cast of guys on Insecure who are supportive. And, I mean, Wade is my husband on Insecure. And he's, like, my work husband in a very real way. And his fiance is even like, oh my, I love you guys. Because we have our own marital relationship on the set of Insecure. So that's my answer to that. Here's a question. As a Black woman in Hollywood, is it not a responsibility for you to check, call out, hold accountable your Black male peers, i.e. Charlamagne, for the disrespect shown through their platforms to other Black women by calling them out publicly or not visiting his show like nothing happened? Well, actually, it is my responsibility to do that. It is, however, not my responsibility to do that publicly. The reality is that I have different relationships with different people. And the most important thing is that I don't have a personal relationship with the audience. I have personal relationships with actual human beings. And so I think that sometimes the audience like gets misled in thinking that as a Black woman or as somebody who is outspoken, that you basically are now tasked with owing them an explanation for everything you do. I made it clear that I spoke to Charlamagne on the side, which is what you do with a friend. And I was what's the word I'm looking for? I was satiated with his reply. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all anybody need to know. That's it. If I'm okay with it, be okay with it. It's one thing for somebody to continuously be ignorant without any growth happening. But as I said when I was on The Breakfast Club, what I love about Charlamagne is that he continues to grow. He continues to check himself. He is who he is. And I have my reasons for being a friend, his friend. And that's fine. And, you know, you have your reasons for following me or not following me. And guess what? That's fine, too. Next question. All right. Well, this is a different one. I actually love that this is like outside of just like a career question, but it has to do with relationships in career. How about when you shoot your shot with another actor? How does that work out? Whether you make the shot or not, how do you balance professionalism and seeing what's up? Well, especially during this Me Too moment that's happening, you know, this is a really, really pertinent question because we've heard about it from the male side of things, but from the woman's side of things, it's like, well, how does that really play out? I mean, I've absolutely like dated fellow actors, and I think for the most part, it's always been a very, first of all, it's always been a respectful approach. Like, I don't feel like any of them like came at me in a weird way that I felt like coerced or pressured or any of that. But it was always kind of like we're laughing excessively on this set. So let's see if we're going to continue to laugh after. And you just like casually just like keep talking. And then it's like, oh, what are you doing? I guess I'll come over. Okay. And then you hang out. And it's like, oh my God, we're watching Game of Thrones. We're making out. True story. The thing about it is professionalism is all about understanding that whatever emotions were exchanged between y'all hold no place in this professional space. And that, my dears, takes maturity, which is something a lot of people are lacking. And I'm not judging anybody because I think it's something that you have to learn, and gracefulness is not an easy thing to come by. But if you're going to have relationships with people in close quarters, you always have to consider like this could not work out. And if you're going to try to have a relationship with somebody in close quarters, this could not work out. I had a gaffer holler at me. A gaffer is the person who does the lighting on a show. I had a gaffer holler at me on a show I was doing, and he was like, Amanda, you know, I just wanted you to know that I am interested in you. And full disclosure, word had got to him that I thought he was cute. I didn't send word. I didn't send it, but it got to him. And he ended up, you know, hollering at me. And I want to save the full story of this for another episode because I truly believe that you all need to experience the full story of this because it was literally a relationship in 72 hours, like an entire whole relationship. I may even dedicate a whole episode to an act out of this relationship. I think that actually might be something we need to do. Rebecca, put it down. Put it down. She's typing. Because I may need to literally do like an old school radio movie Hollywood story, you know, like a Walt Whitman tale of that relationship. But the point is that it didn't really last. Okay. 72 hours went by very fast. And then we had to shoot again on Monday. And I had to really say to myself, like, how are you going to handle this? Because he was, like, really ridiculous. He wasn't nasty, but he was just, like, ridiculous. And I decided to do the Michelle Obama thing, you know, just run that train by. They go low, we go high. And so I came into work and I could see him like averting his eyes, which by the way, if he's the gaffer and he has to light me, he can't really avert his eyes. He has to see me and then he has to see me on the monitor and then see me again and see me on the monitor. And he's like trying to pretend like he doesn't really see me. It's like, oh, you see me, bro. You see me. I'm wearing bright ass colors. You see me, bro. And eventually I just alleviated his stress and like came up to him and was like, hey, so hope you had a good rest of the weekend. If you could send me the pictures you took of me in front of the jellyfish, that would be great because they were fantastic. All right, I'm going to head to lunch. Want anything from Crafty? And that was that. But it just made everything easier that I took like the high road to like literally just like be nice. We didn't have to talk after that. We didn't talk after that. But it just took the tension out of it. And it just made for us to be in a professional space without there being like any extracurricular concern. So I think that's really what it boils down to. It's just knowing that like you're taking a gamble if you shoot the shot and you don't make it. But you're in a professional space and that really trumps everything else. As long as the person didn't disrespect you, you know, the person didn't go over any boundaries, there should be no issue except for your ego. And you got to check it. All right. So for the last DMT, I really liked this question. Hi, sister. I would love to know if the put-on factor works for you all in Hollywood. I see when looking in media that the Avas and the D-Reeses have all female crews on purpose. But you know how some people say black people send the elevator down only for a certain amount of folk, i.e. Barack not filling the White House with hella black folks once in office? Is there a fact to this in terms of production TV and film? Well, I think that there absolutely is a concerted effort to say, like, you know, we need to bring folks in, because the reality is that Hollywood is overwhelmingly white. And it's overwhelmingly white because people are in the white bubble. And the reality is that you hire who you know. And that's just the basics. So if you only know white people, you're going to end up only hiring white people. That's just that. And so it gets hard to kind of get in spaces that are, you know, not, it gets difficult to get in spaces that you don't know somebody in, because typically when it comes to this type of work, even though it's still work, it's personal. Like, you're creating art. So you want to trust people you know to be on your staff to create art. So it ends up being a trickle down of just who knows, who knows, who knows, who knows who. And a lot of folks really just stay in like their ethnic circles for what it's worth. The reality though, is that in the black community, we do have to send down the elevator to bring folks up, but we have to do so in a way that's also like, yeah, but I also need to help infiltrate other circles, because we need to diversify these circles so that there isn't a continued segregation. Because the way that things will change is when shared perspectives get to be shared, right? And that has to happen not only in front of the camera, but behind the camera. Remember when Matt Damon was talking about diversity only matters to the people in front of the camera? I mean, he's lucky the Martian was good. He's lucky. Because I was like, throw the whole Damon away. Throw it away. How you like them apples? Because it was just such a ridiculous statement to say that diversity only matters in front of the camera. I mean, you guys, the way that these films get made are by people who are in desks deciding what gets to go down and be in front of the camera. So if you have people in executive positions and in producer positions that are diverse, then you get to have more diverse stories. It's just the way it is, because people naturally, as human beings, attach to what's relatable to them. It's just the way it is. So in sending down the elevator, I mean, I think Barack and politics is one thing. I think production is another thing. I personally work with a lot of women because I don't get along with a lot of straight guys and egos. It just doesn't work well. And you got to know what works well. And it's like, I'm not saying that that's the bottom line and that I've never gotten along with straight guys. But the reality is that if you know that there's a propensity for that, it's like, why would you continue to create that situation? I open the door for situations. I open the door for all opportunities for people to be able to step into a position. But when I'm hiring and I ask certain questions, I get certain responses that'll let me know, oh, we gonna have a problem. Yep, me and you, we gonna have a problem. Like, if I ask you a question and you, like, how would you handle this? And I see even a hint of defensiveness, I already know. It's not gonna work. Because if we're just playing, if it's just playtime and you're already like, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, when it gets real time, I don't wanna have to, like, be protecting your feelings when we're trying to protect the production. So I find that a lot of times just my personality can rub straight guys the wrong way in a work environment. So I end up bringing up the elevator for a lot of young women because it seems like we just have a more synergistic work relationship. And the reality is that we need to have more women in production anyway, and in production and trained properly. Trained to be accountable, trained to be detail-oriented, and trained to have a high level of quality control. So that's where I'm at with that. But you got to send the elevator down. But here's my tea. I will always give the opportunity to Black folks. But if you don't take the opportunity, everybody gets a shot. So don't be mad when there's white girls on the team. Because they showed up and they showed out. Hey, white girl, I love you too.
People I like. Yeah.
Get to the point.
I am. I am. I am.
I am. I am.
I am.
Motherfucker. Is this
going to
take a while?
You're
going to put me up to 10.
So, I don't know if you all can hear the laugh happening on the couch, but it's one of my faves. You know, People I Like is the name of that segment is as such so that I don't ever have to interview somebody that I don't like. That's literally the whole thing. Because, you know, like sometimes with these podcasts and stuff, like you feel like, okay, well, this person would be like good for the brand or good for the theme. And it's like, no, the thesis is people I like.
Hallelujah.
So if they don't fit that, we're not fucking doing it.
Love
and it. It's always great, though, when I get to interview people I love.
Oh, baby. I love you, too.
And so today we have just the incomparable, the legendary.
In my own fucking mind. Yes.
The iconic.
Yes. I love that because it always makes me think of Spinal Tap. Do you remember when Stonehenge came down? Yes. And they're like, no one knew who they were or what they were doing, but their legacy remains. The little druids of Stonehenge. Remember?
Yes.
And that little fucking, whenever I hear legend, I always picture like this.
You're descending.
Yeah. I'm descending from the top of a defunct heavy metal band sky.
Ladies and gentlemen, that voice that you've heard, that you've been hearing all your life, is Miss Cree Summer.
Hey.
Hi, hi, hi. And, you know, the theme for this episode is Black women in Hollywood. And, you know, you have a very unique journey.
Yes.
You've actually managed to, like, continue to be a Black woman in Hollywood, but, like, you diverted from, I think, what most people consider to be, like, the regular typical path.
Yes.
Your IMDb is stupid. It's, like, 1,000 credits.
Yes.
I looked.
I love it.
Like, this bitch got, like, 250 credits! And, you know, the voiceover side of things, I want to get into that.
Okay.
But first and foremost, like, when we even just state the theme of Black woman in Hollywood, like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
The first thing that comes to my mind is scarcity.
Mm.
Yeah.
Scarcity. Scarcity of roles or scarcity of just us in general?
Just us in general. Just presence. You know, I just remember even my desire to be an actress. I remember just it was Troy Bayer and Lisa Bonet.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And just that, yeah. Just not having just that wealth, that treasure trove of of what a young white guy would have. He could be, you know, 30 different guys could be his aspiration. And for me, it was like Troy Bayer and Lisa Bonet.
Yeah,
you know,
those are
I mean?
The options.
Yeah, that's what you get.
And then you became like friends.
Yeah, thank God. and then became friends because they're only going to let four of you fucking in the room anyway.
Yes.
So the two were there and then you and I showed up and now there's four. And that's what I mean when I say scarcity. You know, just not enough, goddammit.
Do you see anything? Do you feel like it's changed at all?
Sure. Sure, I do. I do feel it's changed. But it's always that precarious change of, are we just a flavor right now?
Is it a phase?
Is it a phase? Is this something to just calm the savages down? Give them a couple of fucking outfits and they'll think, you know, and God, and then they'll calm down.
Ooh,
and then we're just going to fucking leave. You know what I mean? And then we'll just leave and go back to just casting all white chicks again. You know, who knows? I mean, still, you know, it goes beyond us. When I think women of color, I think indigenous women.
Of course.
I think Asian women. I mean, I think just because they're throwing sisters a bone, when is everyone going to get a fucking bone? When do we all get to play our own roles? You know what I mean?
I feel like there's absolutely like a certain level of renaissance happening right now.
Yes, yes.
I think a lot of it is actually based on work that you were doing in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, like we've kind of, those of us who were inspired by that back then are now like in positions to kind of create work that is just inspired by that.
Listen, it's exceptional. I'll never take away from it or take away from the joy it gives me when I can turn on the TV and know, oh, you got to have a black person in this show. You know, it's 2017.
Yeah.
Your show's not going to get picked up if you don't.
Right.
And that's good for me. And that's good for all of us. You know? So in that sense, yes, I think it is a great time. It's a great time. I just want some more.
More.
That's all. Yeah.
What I'm not sure I want more of.
Yeah.
Is people keep talking about like a different world reboot. And I'm just like.
Does it sound awful?
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind the idea of a different world reboot without. Don't bring our old carcasses out of the fucking grave. But, you know.
Not even as a dean?
Sure. Yes, sure. I could be the hippie teacher of literature with nine kids, 19 kids. You know what I mean? And my, I mean, that doesn't bother me. But I do like the idea of another black show based on a college because it did so much good. And there's nothing wrong with encouraging education. And I'd much rather see that than us doing a 902 or us doing these teen shows that I see are popular right now. You know, we don't need a black version of 90210. I'd rather see different world.
Called Rodeo Drive.
Yeah, Rodeo Drive. Yes, Baldwin Hills.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or whatever.
Which was a thing. Like,
Girl, I know. I know. Yeah. It was like a reality thing.
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Mm.
I mean, the assholes too.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, when I moved here, so for those who don't know, like the way that I even met you is because this all started with me dressing up as Freddie Brooks for Halloween. Do you remember this?
I don't.
I dressed up as Freddie Brooks. I've been you for Halloween for like 4 years.
Yes!
Like the only reason I wasn't this year was because I had these damn twists at the time.
Which are cute.
Thank you. Yeah. So I had to be Paula Jai Parker from...
That's right. I saw a picture. That was
Friday.
Good.
Thank you.
That was a good costume.
Where Craig at? And my assistant had to like help me put on these like Lee press-on nails that were like talons, but I could only do one hand because I needed a hand to be functional.
Yeah.
I don't even understand how people were functioning.
I don't know. Hygiene is a question mark.
Hygiene is
a question mark.
Yeah.
How do you wipe your shit?
How do you wipe? And so someone on Instagram had sent it to you, on Twitter, had sent it to you.
That is right.
And you had replied to
it. And I said, this kicks ass or something. This is beautiful.
And then you followed me.
Yes, I followed you.
And then you followed me on Instagram.
And then I followed you and I started listening to you and I just thought, you're so smart. And I always love that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I see reflections of us that where we're just exposing, showing instead of a little leg, showing a little brain, you know, it's so attractive. And I just thought I'd hang out with her on purpose. She looks like such a cool, she just looks like such a cool chick. And then I remember I told Angelo, I said, do you know Amanda Seals? I said, she's really funny. And I said, she's got like a great energy. And he said, I went to school with her.
Columbia!
Yeah, we're talking about my husband.
Yes,
yeah,
her husband went to the Institute for Research in African American Studies at Columbia University. You know, so rest in peace to Manny Marable.
That's right. I know, I just heard about that.
No.
Are you talking about?
Not new.
Oh, okay.
Did someone else pass away?
Yes, someone just passed away. The dean of admissions or someone there.
I don't know if I know the dean of admissions. Okay. I only know the black people.
He was a black man.
The dean of admissions at Iris?
No, at Columbia. Oh, I'm sorry. We're talking about different things.
I was Yeah. Token.
I got five on it.
So, but then what was dope was that when I was moving out here, I sent you a DM.
Yes.
In Instagram, because I was like, I'm going to be moving out here. I'd love to meet you in person.
Yeah, you said, let's have lunch.
Because I really feel like we get stuck in the bubble of social media. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you meet someone in person. And I like have these weird times where like I'll have like a fan who'll be like, I'm at, you know, D-Ray2567. And I'm like, oh, yeah. They're like, remember, because I sent you that video about blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God.
And it's like an eerie kind of like weird
creepy
thing.
Yeah.
Even like I was trying online dating for a second and like this guy was like, okay, you know, can I get your number? And I was like, why does it feel weird to give you my number right now? And I realized because I've never met you in person.
There you go.
That's why it's weird. There, like, we're talking, but I've never had like an in-person.
It's catalog dating.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And catalog dating.
It's just weird. You know, you're just flipping through. You don't know anything about it.
Remind me offline to tell you about that.
Okay.
So, but the best part of it was that when we sat down to brunch, first of all, we're Cancer. So
we found out we were Cancerian, that was it. And because we were Cancerian and so self-protective and have the same friends we've had since we were 3 years
correct,
old. Did you rarely make new friends as a Cancerian?
Yes.
So we were both shocked that we showed up.
We made it there.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
I was like, I can't believe
we're
I
here.
Actually came to this fucking lunch.
I came.
And then we, as soon as we became, as soon as I got there, I knew we were going to be friends. So it was okay.
And I just like, you know that you're like an icon. And so when you are, I mean, I know that now that I know you, you're like, whatever, bitch.
But, and an asshole. icon/asshole. So we keep it all level
here. But it's always nice to meet people whose work you admire and then you can admire them as a human.
Yes.
Like that's always like a great
feeling.
And
it's rare.
Super duper rare.
It's hard to meet people that you admire because they usually turn out to be real assholes.
Because they know so many people admire them and they've just stopped giving even an effort forth to being like a fucking human that's useful outside of whatever art they do that people admire. And it's like, but you can also just not be a dick.
That's always an option.
You can also just not. That's also an option.
Yeah.
But what I loved was we were talking about my web series, Get Your Life, at the time.
Yeah.
And I was telling you that I had just moved to LA. And I was trying to get people on board. And as a black woman in this town, so much of our only option is to create the option.
That's right. Create your own.
Like, that's literally it. Like, there just isn't anyone thinking about us. People are not writing scripts like, you know what we need in here? We need an honest depiction of a black woman.
Never.
Because they don't even know.
Said no creative ever.
Yeah. And then even if, let's just like say rhetorically speaking, like even if they thought that, then they have to figure out for a lot of the cases, like, well, where would I find that? Because they don't even know what that is because they haven't had interactions with a lot of black women outside of like what they see on TV or their one black friend who probably may not have even had a lot of interactions with other black people herself.
Exactly.
You know, like Daphne is very sheltered and she's hated her ass her whole life. And her real main use in middle school was to teach y'all how to do the running man.
Which she never did right in the first place.
She never did it.
If anyone challenged Daphne, it wouldn't have been right.
So that happened to me.
It did.
When I was on My Brother and Me at the cast party, we had some little hood chicks there that were like extras in the show and they came to the party.
Yeah.
And I got in the circle.
Uh-oh.
They were playing the Tootsie Roll. I will never forget this until
I
die.
Won't.
And I got in the circle to do the Tootsie Roll. And it was more like a Werther's original.
Yeah. And you heard a lot of,
It was it was really, I'll demonstrate it before the day is over. It was a really like sad,
it's a rude awakening, wasn't it?
And I remember then this girl, Cassie.
Yeah.
Cassie came in the circle
and really did the fucking Tootsie Roll.
To this fucking day, when I do the Tootsie Roll, I do it like Cassie.
Good.
12-year-old Cassie was like, my hips didn't even move like that until I fucked somebody.
You don't know
like,
until
I
you
didn't,
know.
I just, I...
You don't know until you know, baby.
And it was like, you have been misled. Hannah, Ashley H, Ashley C, Lindsay with an EY, and Lindsay with an AY.
I went to school with a fucking Hannah.
Misled you into thinking that you were doing the Tootsie Roll and you were actually doing a Jolly Rancher.
Well, because you could have done anything for them and they would have thought
they, it was on rhythm. Yeah. So they were like, wow, this is dope. And so that's why, like, when we are creating stuff, I'm like, can we support each other when we're creating stuff? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you got to support.
Hold on.
How are we doing with sound?
Blowers. L.A. Blowers.
It's audible, but I can fix it.
Okay.
All right.
Pull some stuff out.
When you're trying to do this stuff, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you got to be down with everybody's shit.
No.
But then it's like, when it's good, support it. And you, like, felt like my shit was good.
I just liked you. I mean, I didn't even know. I don't even think
I explained to you what it was.
You explained to me what your podcast was. And then you, or not your podcast, explained to me what your web series was. And then you said, do you want to come do it? And I said, I don't act very much on camera
anymore. Didn't. That's not what happened.
Oh, what happened?
I literally said, I'm doing this web series. I'm having trouble getting women.
Oh, and I said, I'll do it.
You literally, I didn't have to ask you.
I said, I'll do it. That's right.
I didn't even have to fucking ask you.
I don't think you did
because that's who you are.
I know.
You literally went, when do you need me? And then a child inside of me.
That's right. That's right. I did do that.
Opened up. It was like a child inside me crawled out of my rib and was like, yes. And you may not know, but like stuff like that is what gives you like, because hope is, I always say, like, hope is a currency that you can survive on for quite some time.
Yeah.
And even when you don't, like, have money, if you have hope, you can actually ride that wave a little bit. It's a sea upon which you can sail to your goal. And, like, you gave me a little extra stretch of ocean with that. Because it was like, oh, all these chicks ain't bitches. Yeah. You know, like, you because that's just not always the case, like we've talked about. But
I think I did that, too, probably because I just really did love our hang. It was a very good hang. And I just thought, what could it hurt? It'll just be a really nice experience. And it was. It was a beautiful day.
We got great pictures.
We got great pictures. We got our album cover.
We got our album cover.
And
And people were so happy to see you on screen.
Because I don't do that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you do the voiceovers.
Yeah.
And when we were talking about, like, scarcity, before we came on the mic, you were talking about how, like, with the voiceover world, the scarcity is just as pervasive over there.
I mean, there's a reason that I do all the Black female characters.
You really do.
Because it's just me, you know. So talk about scarcity. You know, there are other incredible Black women that do voices. It's just there's only four of us or only three of us, you know. And there was a time when there was only one of us.
That's why your IMDb has a 9 million credits.
Because it was just me. And then there's also the sad thing that there's not a lot of Black characters to play. You and I have this in common as well. We're both avid comic book lovers. Yeah. We're Star Wars fans. We both are really heavily addicted to sci-fi and fantasy.
Yes.
And you know what it's like to exist as a Black woman in that realm.
You don't.
You don't exist. You don't have any...
In their fantasy, we are not existing.
We are non-existent. So imagine doing that for a living. You're in this realm where Black chicks don't exist at all.
Do you feel like there's any animation, like the way that we're having this kind of little... I won't say little. The way that we're having this surge.
Yeah. Hey, hello. But the way that we're this push where we're all being seen finally. Do you think it's carrying? You want to know if it's carrying into animation
at all?
I don't think so.
Because I haven't seen it, but I don't know. You're on the inside.
The answer is no. I think the concern for whether or not Black children are seeing themselves in cartoons. I don't think that's a big, heavy concern with anybody in the industry. Yeah. I don't think so. No. Cartoons are still predominantly white. Even if they're aliens or even if they're fictional characters, you know, they're still white.
Because there's like Estelle's character on Steven Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Doc McStuffins.
That who we love.
Who we love.
And then I'm on a new show on Disney Junior called Vampirina. And I am a Black mother with a Black daughter and a Black son.
Nice.
So that's it. But that's by Chris Nee, too, the woman who brought us Doc McStuffins. So this is her. This is her doing it.
So once
doing
again,
it again,
right? It's like one it's chick doing staying it. In the same realm.
Yeah.
When you're doing voiceovers, though,
there's not a lot of black people behind the scenes in voiceovers. No. I'll also let you know there's ten of them. You know, I know all the black animators. I know the I don't know any black animation directors. I mean, it's just not, you know.
Is there more other? Are there other representation? Like, is there more Asian?
No.
So it's still just white.
It's still just white. Yeah.
Because like when you go to Google, there aren't any black people there barely.
No.
But there's hella Asians.
Hella Asians. Well, that's where they are. They're all there.
Yeah. They're all, so that's they where all they're at. That's yeah. where they're not in animation. They're all there.
They're all like Google.
You know? And I think that there's like this thought process that says like, well, no, we filled the diversity quota because we've got yeah. all of Asia here.
Yeah.
And I...
oh, and I think this chick... There's a chick who's on a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's about to come out. It hasn't been released yet. There. Yeah. Cat something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I audition for these voiceovers and I'm never like really sure like when they have the black character, like what is their thinking of like what is black? Because I don't
well,
feel like you have done the stereotypical.
Now they're scared shitless. I mean, now they just want you to sound white. Now they're scared to give it any flavor, you know.
Do you feel like when you put it in
when I want it, you know, because that's the wonderful thing about animation that seems to be a little more open than on camera is you are given that a little more creative leeway to decide what you want this person to sound like. And, mm-hmm. and oftentimes, even if they have an idea, they're very open-minded about what you're going to bring in.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And so usually if I see a black character, I mean, unless they're from Des Moines, you know what I mean, or whatever, unless they're from some isolated yeah. white place, then I will give them a little, just a little flavor, please.
But you have clout on that side of the field at this point, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think I have any clout.
Why do you say that? No. I feel like you're the one.
I guess I have.
Like
I guess
you're not
there's
auditioning
a little bit,
anymore.
Yes, I still audition.
This is ridiculous,
yeah,
people.
Audition. I don't audition for everything. You know, I have...
You should be offer only.
I love it. Talk to my fucking agent. No, but I do have lots of friends now that
yes.
I didn't have before. And I do have... Now I do get calls that say, Cree, just come in. Like, all my jobs this week I didn't audition for.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So that's nice. But they're all guest spots, you know what I mean?
Right, they're not reoccurring.
Yeah,
they're
like
not
if it's a
staff.
If it's a job... Actually, that's not true. Sometimes I do get gifted jobs. Yeah.
I don't consider it a gift. You're the gift.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always a gift when you don't have to work for it.
Enough.
It's always a
fair
fucking
enough.
Gift. Yeah.
Well, before we get into the next segment, I
yes.
want to know this. Like,
yeah.
how do you feel or do you feel that going into voiceover versus staying as an on-camera performer,
yeah.
like, do you think that has retained any sanity for you as a black woman in Hollywood?
I think so. I think I've got much more autonomy. You know, I don't think people are as interested in what I'm doing. And I think that's a nice kind of thing, you know, especially being a mother and a wife. I think I don't feel the cult of celebrity as much. I don't feel a pressure of celebrity either.
It's so dope because
you're
an icon, but not a celebrity.
Yeah. And that's nice. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, and I still act on camera when I'm with friends.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. if a friend calls me up and says, I'm doing a short, or
right.
I say, of course, I'll go be with my friends. But I've got, things have changed now. I really like being where I am, you know? And also I think I contracted Graves' disease when I gave birth to my daughter, Brave, and it changed my eyes. And I think I have a very heavy duty insecurity about the way I look on camera now.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that also probably contributes to the comfort zone of doing voiceover, you know. And it's also nice that it doesn't matter what size my ass is, and it doesn't matter that I'm 48 and getting older. It doesn't matter the color of my skin
yeah,
as much. You
as
know,
much.
I just, there's such a freedom in voiceover for me.
Hmm. So anyone who's listening.
Yeah.
Because I think that there's also like this very limited scope. I mean, we've already talked about the scarcity of
yeah.
black women in Hollywood, but there's also like this very limited view of like what you can be in Hollywood.
100%.
You know?
100%. And it's because you don't see anybody. I mean, if you only see me in reference to voiceovers, you're not going to say, let me go be a voiceover artist, because you're like, they've already got one. You know what I mean? And that's an awful truth. It's an awful truth. I mean, there's certainly room for more. So come on. If you're out there.
Y'all got these voices.
Get it together.
Got these voices.
That one time.
We have a segment on the show called This That One Time.
That One Time, yes.
And That One Time is our story segment where we tell a story about being a Black woman in Hollywood, or just like, or we tell a story that has to do with the theme. And so, of course, our theme this month is being a Black woman in Hollywood.
I don't know what story.
So I would love to hear if you have any. It doesn't necessarily have to be. You are a Black woman in Hollywood, so I feel like any story you tell me.
Okay, good. The story I wanted to tell has got nothing to do with it. But when I came into your apartment today, you had these different world pillows.
I do, which was so, y'all, I just totally like forgot that I had these different world pillows, and then Cree was coming in the house and it was like,
And I was in the, I was like mid conversation, right, Lindsay? And then I look over and I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I started to giggle because, I don't know if you know this, but I am a diehard Frank Zappa fan. Yes. I mean, he is my God, my deity. And in my dreams, I was going to marry Frank Zappa as a girl. And then I switched, of course, to Dweezil. I was going to be Dweezil's wife, right? Yes. I mean, I have journals full of me and Dweezil. Oh, we're going to get married. God, I hope he never hears this shit because we're friends. It's so creepy. So Linda Perry, the music producer, and I did a cover of Frank Zappa's Dirty Love. And we called in Dweezil to play guitar.
Okay.
And we called in Ahmet to sing because he sounds exactly like his dad. Super creepy. Magic, you know?
Yes.
So I'm just listening to Ahmet getting wet, you know, going through lots of changes. And then at the end of the session, he says, would you like to go on a date? I think I said yes before he got even, would you like to? I was like, yes, 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 motherfucker, yes. So, and I remember going home telling my best friend, Tamara, who was my roommate at the time, I'm gonna be a Zappa. It's done.
It's done.
I met Gail, his wife. She loves me. You know what I mean? We're going to do this. And so I'm preparing to get ready. Everything looks good, casual, not trying too hard. The doorbell rings. I open the door and he goes, is that my dad's face on a clock? Literally right in the fucking foyer is this massive Frank Zappa clock.
Oh.
Like your fucking pillows.
Yes.
And so just, you know, it was one date. You know what I mean? I think from the clock to the car. And I was trying so fucking hard. But that's my story. That's my story. I had a Frank Zappa clock and it was so awkward. It's like, is that my dad's face on a clock? Yeah. I went on a date with somebody
and then I looked at their Twitter and the header for their Twitter was the My Brother and Me logo from the show I was on. See that hat right there? It was that logo.
No, that's from the show so I was creepy. On.
Yeah.
Oh, that evaporates moisture.
Yeah. It makes your vagina zip up and hide in the closet.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the tough thing about dating in LA.
And being a Black woman in Hollywood.
And being a Black woman
because
in Hollywood.
You can't really, you know, like you were saying that your husband is not in our field.
He's not in our, well, he is, so, yeah, he, I mean, I guess he is sort of, but you're right. He is not in our field. He is a beautiful company called 3BD and he manages all the world's top YouTube stars and they create content for them. So no, he's not a performer.
But he's not a performer.
I think it's wonderful. I think there should only be one in the house.
You know, I always say, like, there can only be one Andre 3000. Like, there can't be two, three stacks.
It's hard.
But
then it works sometimes. I guess it does.
I don't know who it works.
Who are the examples?
Who are the examples?
I was going to say John and Yoko, but Yoko is an artist. She wasn't a musician, you know, and also she...
It looks like Jhené Aiko and Big Sean have got a thing going. That looks good.
How long has that been going on?
Quite some time, but I'm impressed. Okay. I'll say this. He's on her album.
What about Jay-Z and Beyonce? There you go.
But he's not really being... I feel like he is more an exec than a performer now. But I think that's what happened.
Isn't that the law of entropy? Like, one goes up, one goes down, but do we ever stay... Like this, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because even me right now, like, I am performing, but my performing is slowly but surely like coming more out of like a different place of purpose than being a performer, you know?
Right. You have something you want to say.
Yes.
Yeah. It's gotten
like
deeper.
Even when I'm doing lectures and whatnot, like it's just not, it's not rooted in like, hear me, see me. Yeah, it's rooted in like, this message has a need behind it that I want to give to you, not just because I have a narcissistic, right. You know, or even just as a creative, like for Smart, Funny, and Black.
But you just said the key word, you're a creative.
No, what I was going to say was like, my creative space is driven by something different than it used to be.
Yeah. Well, that's when you're young, yeah.
Yeah, like it used to just be.
But you're right, though. Some people don't even evolve into that.
They don't.
Yeah, that's true. Some just stay there.
They stay there, and that's why I'm single.
That's not why you're single.
Because, like, that's who I'm around. I'm around people who get their fucking rocks off by feeling like, look at me being creative. And it's like...
Is that just that the men have been in power for so long? I remember when we were on Different World, Jazzy and Jada and Charlie and myself. And I remember, like, the basketball players would come. And the actors. And the young actors at the time that were... very popular, you know, like where you're in your dressing room going, oh my God, so-and-so's coming. Get your shit together. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I remember they'd go right for the extras. They'd say hi to us, the stars of the show. And then they go right to the extras. And then it would be like me and Jazzy at a bar alone at the end of the thing. And they would have all gone out with the extras. And then, you know... And
by
then,
the way, Jazzy is Jasmine Guy. Just so for anyone who's listening.
But you know what I mean? And then
who's lovely also, by the way.
Oh, she's the tits.
When I met Jasmine, I was so worried.
No, she's the tits.
Because you know, I'm honored that people are comparing my character on Insecure to Whitley.
How fabulous is that?
And I can't take it.
That's amazing. But we used to sit there and we couldn't believe it. And we'd say, what's wrong with us? And what's wrong with us was just... far too much independence and far
too much right with you.
Just too much self-awareness, too self-contained, too okay already.
And there's
it's so much more attractive to get.
Well, then I feel like there's also this thought process that to them they think that the extras are not that, which is also
a
reflection
an
of exactly
because you just don't know.
You don't know.
No,
like I could be over here doing this extra shit today to help pay for my PH fucking D.
Girl, one of my best friends was an extra on Different World. Now she has one of the biggest jewelry stores in Hollywood. Yeah, but that's something that a penis gives you, this, you know, really bizarre.
Well, as we've seen, with
context,
what's gone on.
Yeah, this bizarre context
last months with all.
Isn't
of
this something? Can we just talk about it for a second?
We can always talk about this.
Okay. It is such a paradoxical, such a bizarre time right now as a woman. I have two daughters, as you know, 6 and 4.
Brave and hero,
and. I remember we didn't even know what date rape was. We didn't even identify it. There wasn't a word for it.
No,
we're all going on dates and getting raped and no one knew what the fuck it was.
No one knew.
Right? But we knew something wasn't fucking right because you go home and eat a bag of candy the size of your body.
And you sit in the shower.
Yeah, I can't get clean.
Yeah.
But I just am marveling right now at how loud and profound and the magnitude and the massive gathering of women that are shouting from the fucking rooftops, he touched me, he did this. It is so, it gives me joy. It gives me this profound sense of joy. And some people, you know, say to me, well, you know, is it all true? And why are they all yelling? And it could all, you know, and this and that. And it's just like, what people don't understand is as a woman, you spend the majority of your life not being believed.
Simple.
Just not being believed. Imagine that handicap. If the opposite sex could just imagine being born into a world where no one fucking believes what you say.
Well,
and
I keep having men in my Instagram telling me, like, you know, we're entering this place where, you know, women are the ones, everyone just believes what women say. And I'm like, that's just false.
It's false. They still don't believe us.
I said that Russell Simmons had sat across from me in his office and said, so when are we going to fuck?
Ugh.
There were three other people in the room with us. And one of the people next to the person sitting next to me gonna call me talking about, I want to get your point of view on that video. Nigga, you were right there.
You were there.
You were right there. Oh, well, I just thought he was being flirty.
Still not believed.
I just thought he was being flirty.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I was like, if you don't get the fuck off my mother, I lit that phone up. I had to get a new phone. I melted it with my heat, with my words.
But as a mom with two girls, it's about fucking time we're being believed.
Here's my question, though. What comes after this?
Well, we'll see.
Right.
You know, I mean, if we're going to watch history, backlash is on the way. You know, that's what's probably coming. But let's hope it just keeps going. Because I know that we're on the cover of Time right now.
I see.
For telling it like it is.
Yes.
And I know that no matter what comes after this, my daughters will be affected by this movement.
Do you talk to them? They're babies.
They're babies. So, you know, yeah. I mean, we do have conversations about what's not okay.
Okay.
With their bodies. Probably the same conversations you'd have with a little boy.
Yeah.
With any little person.
Just, you know, people touching you here and there.
Yeah, and
it could. Okay.
Yeah, and that no one's exempt. Grandma, grandpa, uncle, cousin, friend of a friend, delivery boy. I don't give a fuck who it is.
Teacher, and tell me.
Teachers.
Tell me.
Yeah, and
tell
I always tell them, your mother is a fucking wolf. I'm not scared of anybody.
You're not.
I wish they would tell you they're going to hurt your mama. Tell me, please.
Come for me.
Woohoo! Let's do it, you know. And so they know I'm not scared of anybody. They know they can tell me. And, you know, there's unfortunately... I've been in situations with dangerous men who have chosen to hurt the woman beside me. Not me.
Because they know.
And I do think it's, unfortunately, sometimes an energetic thing.
They know that you're not the one.
Some women, unfortunately, are probably going to be perceived as prey.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
I do believe that I would have had way more stories beyond just, like, shit being said to me.
Yes, I get shit said to me, but no one would ever dare come towards me.
Correct.
We're not the ones.
No, we're not. And I think that, like you said, like, it's an energy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to victim blame those who are prey.
Oh, they have nothing to do with it.
Nothing.
I'm just saying a predator in the jungle, especially one who's, you know, one who's been doing it for years and years, has honed that skill to say, that's the one I'm going to get over there. Yeah. That's why when you're working on jobs with predators, you know, some women walk away and go, I had no idea. And, you know, it's because, well, they weren't going after you, bitch. You too dangerous. You were going to say something. You might kick them, slap them, and they know just who to fucking get. And that's why they're so dangerous. You know, never the fault of the woman. If you are tender and soft and kind, it does not mean you deserve to be hurt.
Simple.
In any way. And that's just the facts. Yeah.
And in this town, I feel like what I did notice, though, is the lack thereof of Black women coming forward. And my mom was like, well, because they weren't trying to give them the job anyway.
I love your mother. I love your mother. But we have some, you know, God, it's so tough to be Black because we have so many other hangups, you know. It's not, I mean, I think white women do have a luxury of coming out and saying things that we don't. You know, we're just catching up. We're just fucking getting our footing. And we're just even being included by white women.
I was going to say.
White women are just now saying, you can come march with us and be with us and hang with us and your story counts too. So there's a lot of reasons why Black women aren't speaking up.
Very much so. Like, and when Lupita spoke up, she was the only one that he was like, I don't remember it that way.
I don't recall.
I
love all these I don't remember it that ways. That's my favorite quote of 2017.
Right.
I don't remember it that way. Well, too bad, motherfucker. He's still going to jail. Too bad.
Well, Cree, it is such a treat to get to hang out with you anytime, but also just to get to have you on the show.
I love that we didn't talk about anything we were supposed to.
No, we did.
Did we?
We did, because all of this is all in the microcosm and in the micro and the macrocosm of being a Black woman in Hollywood. All of this relates.
Yes, it does.
It does. And at the end of the day, it's like every Black woman's experience is individual. And I think that's one of the biggest issues with being a Black woman in Hollywood is that we get lumped into this monolith.
Yeah.
That says that, like, oh, this is what it is. Like, and you end up being either considered like, okay, so we need you to be like, you know, like sassy. Like the fact that that's still a thing. Like, we need you to be like sassy.
Sassy means ghetto.
Yes.
I love sassy as a direction. I get it all the time.
And then I show up in glasses and I always do the opposite.
You do?
Every time. Don't ever fucking tell me to be sassy. I will give you a Columbia curse out.
Dude, it's great. They tell me that in animation, too. Can you just make her a little more sassy, a little more street, a little more hip?
Y'all, my eyes are huge right now. A little more sassy, street, and hip. Edgy.
Know? Yeah, sure. And, you know, this direction is given through a glass wall with, like, 30 people on the other side, and you're just one little chick on the other side of the mic. And you're like, is this my protest moment, or am I going to pay my fucking rent?
And you know what? That's this is a great place to end this, because that is such a huge part of being a Black woman in Hollywood, is deciding when it's time for your revolution. Mm-hmm. And you find yourself, and I think some people may misinterpret, like, when I'm like, speak up or like, know your truth, then I'm like, not acknowledging the fact that, like, we do have to pay our bills.
No.
We do have to look at the vision. Sometimes the moment is not, sometimes the vision is always bigger than the moment. I've had people say fuck shit to me. And it's like, if I feed into your goddamn bigotry ass bullshit,
I'm gonna be destroyed.
Yes. And I am, and that's why a lot of women don't say shit either, because they're like, you know what? You are a predator, and you are absolutely, like, behaving in a way that is incendiary and disgusting. But I cannot let your indiscretion get in the way of where I know I need to be.
Yeah, where I'm going.
And where I'm going.
Yeah.
And when I find myself in
and
those
situations. And that woman, too, it doesn't mean that she won't speak up when she gets where she's going.
Well, then they love to say, why'd you wait so long? And it's like, that's why.
Why?
Because I needed to get to a point where this person couldn't pull the rug out from under me.
I need to get to a point where if I speak up and I happen to have no one come back me up, that I'm powerful enough to do it by my fucking self.
I'm still here. You know? And I wasn't getting callbacks. I was going on all these auditions. I wasn't getting callbacks. You know when I got my first callback?
Tell me.
I spoke up. When I went in for a role and the role said sassy Black woman. And I stood in the Hyundai, the Hyundai service parking lot, just on the phone with my homegirl, like, that's why I fucking hate this shit. Yeah. I'm going to write my own version of Hollywood Shuffle, and I'm going to start getting funding. I know exactly who to call. And I was just livid. I still went to the audition, though, because I was like, I need to know this casting director.
Yeah.
It's big. So I was like, how are you going to tweak this? So I went to the cast. I went to the audition. And like I said, like, I wore my glasses. Like, I flipped it. And when I did the audition, he said,
Never thought of it like that.
You did that different.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. And then the assistant was behind the camera, like, nodding her head, like, yeah, bitch. Yeah, yeah, bitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I did it differently. And in that moment in my brain, I'm like, how are you going to approach this? Like, because in this town, you are absolutely told that you need to be passive and that, you know, you kind of, like, need to not ruffle feathers. I'll tell you, the only reason I've come so far from our brunch.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't passive.
No, you've had quantum leaps,
like,
from our brunch.
From lily pads to planets, you know? And it's because I've, like, found myself in these situations where I listen to my gut, and my gut says, just say the shit.
Yeah.
Just say it. You don't got to. It's not gonna, it doesn't have to be rude. It doesn't have to be tactless.
No, it has to just be the truth.
The truth.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, I was about to, like, pussyfoot around it. And then I was like, bitch, just, and I said, I did it different because it wasn't right on the page.
Beautiful.
And I needed to do it in a way that wasn't offensive. And he was like, you know, we've been telling the producers that all week.
Right. You gave them you opened the door for them.
He was like, I keep telling them. They keep asking me, why are the women all performing it this way? And I told him, because you put the word sassy in the damn breakdown. Yeah. What do you expect? And, you know, I was so, like, shocked. And he was like, Susie, get her the callback script. Get her.
And that's something.
Get her the callback script. And I read the callback script in the room.
Yeah.
And then they called me back. And when I came back, they had the two writers.
Oh, good.
Who were both women. But listen to this. There was a monologue.
Yeah.
And I get in the room and they say, so you can just write it however you want it.
Hmm?
And I think, you know, if I'm being generous, in their heart of hearts, they thought what they were doing was giving me license to have my own voice. But what they were actually doing was having me rewrite their fucking
script. I was just going to say, it's not your job to write their fucking movie. Write your own fucking movie.
Write your shit.
Write your own shit.
And to ask me to do that on the spot.
Yes, insulting.
As a performer, it's not even fair.
No.
Like, because now I'm doing improv that I didn't set up to do.
It's too much.
And it threw me off, honestly. But it was it opened the door in my mind to say, like, you know what? Say the shit.
Yeah.
And I auditioned for something recently where in the script it said that I say, get your hands off me, you big, you gorilla. And the person is a black man.
Is a black man, yeah. No thanks.
And I was like, I walked in the seating room, three of us sisters are there.
Yeah.
And I was like, what y'all think about that gorilla line? And they were like, I don't want to say it.
Good.
But they were all like, but I have to say it.
Yeah, scared, but I have to say it, yeah.
I went in first.
Yeah.
And I was like, this gorilla line right here is not, it's not kosher. And she was like, I didn't feel comfortable with it either. If you don't want to say it, do not fucking feel. This is the casting director. She's
like. But isn't that what I think the point you're making, which I really love, and if people are paying attention, they'll get, is that that wasn't some big protest. That wasn't some big political revolutionary stance. That was simply you being in your integrity. And I think that is what you always tell people to do, is be in your integrity. And if you're in your integrity and your integrity says, I got to pay this bill, I got to do this thing, not today, then that is in your integrity. Yeah. And if your integrity says, I still got to pay this bill, but this hurts my fucking soul, then you say something.
Yeah.
And then it is not that, because these things have to be said, because that little that, those stories you're telling made changes. Well, I didn't have to go see that movie with this brother being called a gorilla.
And when I left the room, I told the girls in the room,
don't say it.
You don't have to say it. And they were like, oh.
But that's how these changes do get made. And I think what you said too about the assumption that as a woman in Hollywood or as anyone who is coming up in Hollywood, we have to be passive. We have to be ourselves. That's the only thing you can be. And the only way you can enact any change is to be yourself and be true to yourself. Because if you're authentic and, yes, if you're being your authentic self, you won't stand for those things. You can't.
You can't.
You simply can't. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah. I think that's that weird thing about Hollywood is it's so much being something that you're not.
For a living.
And so the approach is even being someone that you're not. You know, it's why everybody's like, oh, everybody in LA is so fake. No, they're just confused.
Yeah.
They're not fake. They're just confused.
Confused.
I think they're just confused. I think they just don't know that it's okay to be themselves. They just don't know that they're special. They don't realize
you're
that.
You're going to be on this couch preaching a word.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's that
they don't know they're
special. You're giving me a revelation
right
now. They don't. No, they're special.
They don't even know. They haven't found that thing about them that makes them different and wonderful. And so they get off the plane and they come here and they act like a fucking asshole, you know, and then they wonder why it didn't succeed. And it's because there's nothing about you that was unique and special. I mean, it's in there.
You just
didn't take the time to nurture it.
And when I say
that's why they're all the same.
They're all the same.
Everybody's the fucking same.
There's only two types of people out here. There's the real ones and the other ones.
Yes. And the other ones are winning. I hate to break it to you.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like one of my personal like goals to empower people to do what you're saying, which is like find what's special in you and book ticket on that shit.
That's the only thing that's gonna make you that's why I always say God bless the freaks. Then the freaks shall inherit the earth. What is it about you that is like no one else? Everybody's got it. We don't have the same fucking thumb. We don't have the same fucking tongue. There's no way we can be the same. So let's find out what that is and do that. That's the approach to getting any part. Any you want to get cast in something, be yourself unabashedly. That's the character. Every time, you know.
You know, I just want to give myself props.
Yes.
For knowing that you was gonna be the shit.
Oh, stop.
Thank you so much taking time and sitting down with us and just very casually dropping these gems on them. Just cash, just like without any effort. We're sitting on a couch, you guys. You know, the couch is.
We're sitting on a fabulous couch in the sweetest little Cancerian womb. It is like, I have to just let the listeners know that Amanda has compiled all of her pieces of her life. Everywhere I look, there's like a little Amanda or something from Ghana or something from some of her art or all of the beautiful books she reads and, you know, things from her past. But there's not an inch of this apartment that doesn't have you all in it. And so when you hang out here, you really feel like you're hanging out with you. It's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like it.
But you know what makes you, like, you don't feel, that doesn't feel intimidating. Like, that doesn't
feel. No, it's exciting. I can't, there's always somewhere
like,
to look.
I've had
it's
men like, come in
where
here
we go?
And be
what
like,
are we looking
I can't
now?
Do it. I've had men come in my house and be like, it's just too much.
Too much you?
There's too much you. Oh, I wouldn't be able to manage this. I'm like,
well, get the fuck out, nigga. Don't let the door on the way out because, goddamn. Woo. Save me a whole fucking night of indigestion, right? God, chow mein, motherfucker. God damn.
The last dose.
I typically wait to do the last dose by myself, but you're here, so I'm just going to end
the
show.
Just whip it out, yeah.
For the last dose, I'll just leave you guys with this. Above all else, to thine own self, be true.
Be true. Hallelujah.
See you next time right
like
here.
Like you got a fucking choice.
On small doses, y'all. Thank you again, Cree.
Thank you, sister.
So incredible to have Cree Summer here. Always just a blast when we hang out. Did you hear what I just said? When we hang out, because I hang out with Cree Summer. Life is crazy. Life is crazy. I never thought that when I was dressing as Cree Summer for Halloween that she would eventually like be my actual homegirl. Never. If you don't follow Cree Summer on Instagram, you really should. She has a great account and she highlights her daughters in such a beautiful way. So make sure you do that. And also, of course, make sure that if you are a Black woman in Hollywood, that, you know, you take a real strong listen to the tips that she was saying. You know, we are very fortunate to have someone like Cree willingly sharing her experiences, and that is not something to be taken lightly. You know, it's basically like we got a free masterclass today on just navigating these waters. And it's important. It's important to put yourself in these positions. And if you're pursuing a career in Hollywood as a Black woman, it's important for you to really take a larger look at the path that you're going. And if you're a Black man in Hollywood, if you're anyone in Hollywood, I hope that you actually really listened to this perspective, because it doesn't get to be spoken a lot in a real, real way. And it really got to be spoken about today by somebody who's been in this shit for a long ass time. And I don't mean me, because I have been SAG since 92. So everyone out there, onwards, upwards, keep on making your dopeness, and happy Black History Month to everyone and to all, and continue to celebrate Black history and Black love and Black creativity all year round. And in honor of our Black Women in Hollywood episode, I'm going to play us out with my hashtag Black Girl Magic poem that I did at the 2018 BET Social Awards. Have a good one, y'all. First of all, this look easy. Us Black girls with all kinds of curls smelling a cocoa butter out here every damn day saving the world. Time and time again, we find the ways and means between packing lunches, planning launches, and patting weaves to get information to stay in formation. Girl, you heard what they saying? Ain't no games to be playing. So we show up and show out and turn up and turn this mother out and flip it and Yasmin. Throw gather, get folks all the way together with edges still in place, skin defying time and space. They call it Black Girl Magic because ain't no way to explain our amazing grace. How sweet the sound of a Black girl's point of view, knowing that nobody does it like we do, boo. Pride in our power, strength in our strides, you can attempt to imitate, but soul you cannot buy. We work twice as hard and must be twice as perfect. Purveyors of potent truths we deliver in small doses. Cause folks is shook when she's moving. Oh no, it's another angry Black woman. Bump that. We're not hostile, we're passionate. Clapping back is our way of declaring we ain't having it. They go low, we go high. They say no, we defy. They didn't want us to read. Kept us out of libraries they built. Now we are the biggest buyers of books so we can read you for filth. Yeah. Our magic is in our love and tears, our fears and our flyness, our sisterhoods and insecurities, our ride or don't even try it. We are not the one, and still we rise. Yeah. This here is for colored girls who've considered getting your life and are reclaiming our time.